2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethlehem came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know, hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master away from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Know it, hold ye your peace. You like that group of people that always wants to come and give you bad news? You know this terrible thing's going to happen today. Yeah, shut up. That's basically what he's saying. I know it. Shut up. I don't want to hear about it, okay? Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view after afar off, and they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that? Wouldn't it have been something to see? Came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, and here's the request, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Verse 10, here's the answer. Elijah, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and the horses of fire, and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. When Elisha saw it, he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy prophets 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of God, notice that, the Spirit of God hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. Then sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Pray, dear God, Lord, that you would please give this preacher, Lord, thank you for giving me, first of all, what I believe is a direction and a vision, a purpose and a plan for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, we want to continue all the things we have been doing. We want to also begin to look at extended ways, different ways, Lord, that we can impact our community for Jesus Christ and reach more people. We would ask, Lord, that also along, please, dear God, with the vision that you've given this pastor, would you please, Lord, give me tonight a people with a receptive heart. I pray, dear God, that you'd bring a unity and a oneness to us tonight. I pray, Lord, that as you have dealt with me, so you would deal with each of us. And Lord, may we have a heart to want to see the vision fulfilled, the plan carried out. I pray, Lord, that you would, as you choose to tarry in as much of 2010 if you give us, Lord, that you would allow us to see a supernatural working in these what I believe is the very last of the last days. And Lord, if you tarry your coming through another year, I pray that a year from now we'll be able to look back and understand a little bit, maybe more, about this portion of Scripture than maybe we will understand or perceive tonight. It's one thing to read something, it's another thing to experience it. And I pray, Lord, you allow this place to experience it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen And you may be seated. Thank you. The portion of scripture that we read tells an amazing story. I wish we had time to go back and do a study of how God brought Elijah and Elisha together. Elisha was gifted to Elijah during a very difficult time in Elijah's life. The very chapter where God instructs Elijah, where he instructs him to go, to find this young man that he would begin to mentor, is the same chapter where we find Elijah discouraged, downtrodden, and disillusioned in the ministry. It's the same chapter where he cries out and said, "Lord, I'm the only one left." It's the same chapter where God has to literally take this spiritually and physically and mentally exhausted prophet and lay him down by a creek bed and just feed him and baby him and take care of him and get him built back up and get all of these three gas tanks filled back up in his life. But at the end of that chapter, God says, "Now, part of what I'm going to do to help you is I want you to go down to Dothan. I want you to find a young man by the name of Elisha." And by the way, I believe that Elisha was gifted to Elijah. Elijah was discouraged and downtrodden. And you know what? That young man, I think, brought some youth and energy into this older prophet's life. And God extended Elijah's ministry 15 years. And I think part of that reason is because God gave him a young servant that would just go alongside him and say, "What can I do? And how can I help? And what can I do to be a blessing?" And somebody to talk to and somebody to be an encouragement to this man of God. Now we get down to where it's time for God to take Elijah on to heaven. And Elijah, three different times, tests the faithfulness and tests the loyalty of this young preacher. Three different times he says, "God sent me here, why don't you wait here?" And Elisha said, "No, I'm wherever you're going, I'm going." Three different times God tested this young prophet. And you know what? He wasn't going to leave the side of this man that he had served. He knew, I don't know how they knew, but him and the other sons of the prophets knew that the time had come for Elijah to be taken. And Elisha wanted to make sure that he was there when it happened. Inside and in the midst of this story, we see a conversation go on. First of all, let me say this. Elisha, first of all, and I'm not going to preach this long, but I promise you that it's true. One of the reasons that Elisha had the opportunity to make the request that we are going to watch him make, one of the reasons he was granted that opportunity was because of his loyalty and because of his faithfulness. Now, I know that in some circles those have become dirty words in Christianity, but not in my circles. And let me say this, there is something to loyalty and there is something to faithfulness. And thank God for a young preacher who just said, "You know what, this man has the hand of God, the touch of God on him, the Spirit of God on him, and you know what, God has given me the job of being his servant, and I am not going to leave until God's going to have to take him from me in order to separate us." And that, by the way, that literally had to happen. If you didn't read that very carefully, if you weren't paying attention, the angel that drove the chariots literally had to come down between them and bust them two apart, and then he was taken up into the whirlwind. The chariots parted them, separated them, and then he was taken up to heaven. I think Elisha was hanging on so close, they said, "We're going to have to send something down there to get that boy away from him so we can get that whirlwind to come through. We don't want to end up with both of them up here." And so Elisha was right there. His loyalty and his faithfulness gave him a very unique opportunity. Now, let me say this. We then want to put under the microscope Elisha's request tonight. Very interesting, because Elijah, in verse number 9, said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And then Elisha makes this request. And this is what we're going to put under the microscope tonight. And this is the basis for the theme of 2010 for our church. Elisha said, "I pray thee," or "I ask thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." The theme for 2010 for Blessed Hope Baptist Church is this: daring to desire a double portion. daring to desire a double portion. Within a week or two, the Abounding in the Work of the Lord banners will come down, and they'll be rolled up, and they'll be put in tubes, and they'll be stored with the 2006, 2007, 2008 banners. One of these days, we'll have a 10-year anniversary, and we'll drag them all out and hang them somewhere and let you look at all of them. And every year, it seems like God has given us a theme, given us a direction, given us maybe a little bit of a uniqueness to that year. This year, I believe what God has given this preacher to give you is this. We want to be a church that dares to desire a double portion. Daring to desire a double portion. Now, I want to explain to you what that means. I want to explain to you tonight the beginning points. I want to put this into examination, this statement, this request. It's actually very amazing. Because of what he did not request, I think it's amazing. And because of what he did request, I think it's equally amazing. Notice this, Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, first of all, let me tell you that this request was not for what it was not for. Number one, it was not for double miracles. How many have been taught and studied and know that Elisha, according to the records here that we have in the Bible, performed twice the miracles that Elijah did? Did you know that? Are you aware of that fact? But he did not ask for double miracles. He did not ask for double power. He did not ask for double fame or notoriety. It's very interesting what he asked. He said, I've watched you, I've served you, I've examined you. I know that there is a spirit that rests upon you. I know that there is something supernatural that you have. And whatever that is, I would like to have twice that. Now think about the daring here, daring to desire this. I want to have twice that. Twice what you have, twice that spirit. His request was for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Now let's ask the next obvious question. Preacher, when he asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, what was he really asking for? What was he requesting when he said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me? Let's make this very clear. The spirit of Elijah was the spirit of Almighty God. That's what empowered Elijah. That's what gave Elijah the boldness that he had. That is what allowed Elijah to perform the miracles that God allowed him to perform and to confront Ahab and to rival a nation that was bent on self-destruction and being that voice that nobody really wanted to hear but still needed to be heard. Elijah had something special about him. He had an anointing about him. He had a power about him. And that all was because of the Spirit of God that rested upon Elijah. Let me tell you, and please listen to me and understand I'm an independent fundamental, old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist. And I don't much care for people throwing rocks at us. But I do think that there are some dangerous things that we've seen happen amongst our ranks. I think what we've a lot of times done is too many churches are more concerned about setting double attendance goals and double this and double that, and we fail to realize where the starting point is. You see, folks, I've already said from the pulpit, so you know this much, and I said several weeks ago, I got, you know, going in the pulpit, and I said, you know, folks, you know what, I already know. I can tell you this, I said it 2 months ago. I believe one of the things God wants us to do is to double the size of our bus ministry in 2010. And we're gonna try to work towards some things. And I'm going to introduce some of those things to you. But church, wait a minute. I want to start where we must start. You say, Brother Jerry, are you praying for God to double the bus ministry, double your young adult class? Can I tell you what my prayer request is? God, please make me twice as surrendered to the Spirit of God in my life in 2010 than I was in 2009. May the Spirit of God, may He be sought for. May he be surrendered to. May the, by the way, don't forget his first name. The Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. I don't know what some people have when they say they have, quote unquote, the Spirit, and the Spirit led, and the Spirit's orchestrating. But if it's not leading you towards holiness, it might be a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. I want the Holy Spirit of God to gain ground in my life. I want to surrender more of the control of my life to the Spirit of God. I want to see twice the fruits of the Spirit and their power perfected in my life. You see, a lot of times we want the results of a double portion of the Spirit, but we're really not interested in getting a double portion of the Spirit. Hey, give me double the miracles that Elijah did. Give me double the fame that Elijah had. Give me double the notoriety that Elijah had. Give me double the attendance that Elijah had at his meeting. Wait a minute. You're missing it. If we would seek for double of what Elijah had when it came to where he was when he was in the presence of Almighty God, the level of surrender that he had, the openness, the willingness to empty himself of sin and self so that the Holy Spirit of God could truly fill him, and whatever that was that Elisha was allowed for 15 years to have a front row seat and observe, all he knew was this: you know what? Whatever that is, God, I need twice as much as he had. And I'm going to share with you this in a moment. Listen, folks, this wasn't an I want to outdo my predecessor. This wasn't I want twice the fame of my predecessor. This was a man who saw the power that was upon Elijah and how God used him, but at the end of his ministry still saw where his nation was and realized that there was so much more that had to be done, so much more that needed to be accomplished. And God, you know what? I can't just have what he had. Our country is in dire straits. I need twice of what he had so that maybe we can have a chance at revival in the United States of America. Say, Brother Jerry, does Greene County, Sullivan County, Clay County need Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be twice the size that it is at the end of this year? Let me tell you what they need worse than that. They need for us to be twice the Christians that we were in 2009. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? See, I believe that all of these other things are simply an outpouring, a blessing of seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God and his activity heightened in our lives. I believe with all of my heart that you may be saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, but that does not mean that you've ever experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And let me say this, I don't care who you are and what you've experienced and what you've had and how surrendered you are, let me tell you something, that it is very, very possible and very, very needful for you to be twice of everything that you are right now in the upcoming year. The greatest danger, the greatest possibility of derailment for this church is for Christians hearing me today and really do not believe, please listen to this, really do not believe that you could be twice the Christian you are right now. I never worry about the ones that realize they've got a long way to go. I'm terrified about the ones that have got to the point where they've become expert in every area. They've arrived in their own mind. And you know what? They've killed off the working and the perfecting of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives to go to higher ground and to accomplish more and do more for the Lord. Now listen very carefully what I'm going to talk to you about here. You see, what was he asking for? He was asking for an anointing. He was asking for an activity. Think about this. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament came upon these prophets, but did not indwell these prophets. We know that only happened after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I would like to have you go to Galatians chapter number 5, and I want to start by setting some goals in my life and asking you to set some goals in your life concerning this matter of a double portion of the Spirit of God, a double portion of the Spirit of God's activity in our life, a double portion, a manifestation of his working in our life. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19, notice this. We are introduced, number one, in verse 19 through 21, to the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. In verse 22, we see, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and we are introduced to the fruits of the Spirit. But let's read now from 19 on down. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law, but they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, we can, help me out here, stay with me, we can attempt to do the work of God and the work of the church in the power of the flesh. Of course we can. But the problem is in what it produces. Now, we can also choose to do the work of God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And here are the beginning goals. Say, preacher, are you going to talk about what we want to double? Yes, I am right now. Listen very carefully. This is what we want to double. Let's love twice as much in 2010 as we loved in 2009. You see, folks, here's the thing. Let me just get to it. And I'm going to go through these, and I'm going to mention we can't do a study on all of them, but let me get to where I'm going. The honest truth is, a doubling of anything as far as attendance and as a part of effectiveness is dependent upon our willingness to be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? I need God to do some things in my life. I don't want to be the same Christian I was in 2009. I'm not satisfied with where I am. God has in your life given you a love for people and a love for lost souls, but I promise you this, you haven't arrived, and I promise you this, that the Bible says that we're supposed to grow in that area, and our love is to be perfected, matured, grown, and you know what, no matter how much you love or where you're at, don't sit here and tell me that God cannot open some doors of your heart and cause you to learn to love people on a level that you've never experienced in your life. But that's not going to come because you decide to conjure it up. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God. Lord, give me a double portion of your Spirit. Here's the goal. Listen, Sunday school teachers, I hope you get excited and want to see God grow your class. But here's the goal. Why don't you double your joy? Now, as I think about this, I want you to just picture what would happen to Blessed Hope Baptist Church if all of a sudden, wherever we are in these areas, we allow God to double them or triple them or quadruple them, do something supernatural in our life. Listen, folks, you know what the world's looking for? You know what lost people are looking for? You know what Christians who are wandering from church to church are looking for? They're looking for something supernatural. You want to double your attendance? Double your love. You double your attendance? Double your joy. Say, Brother John, I feel like I'm a pretty joyful Christian. Well, I do too. But the honest truth is, sometimes, you know what, we let the circumstances of life get us down so too much. And you know what, sometimes instead of coming to church with a victory smile, we kind of drag in and plaster some fake little plastic thing. And by the way, your Sunday school kids are not fooled by that. You might fool adults, you don't fool children. Definitely don't fool teenagers. But let me say this, wouldn't it be something if somebody who's never experienced true God joy in their life would come to a church where it permeated from every person in this place to the point they said, you know what, I don't even understand all of this, and I'm not even sure I agree with all this, and everybody in the community says these people are nuts, but all I know is I've never seen anything like this. And that would draw them back, and that would cause them to come and sit and listen and hear and consider and be open to the fact that God might want to do something in their life. I'm not going to teach on all of these, but think about it. Brother Jerry, how do we get some of the in some areas of the church, how do we accomplish some of these goals? I'm giving you the basis of it. You see, Elijah didn't say, double my bus ministry, or double my Sunday school class, or double my attendance, or double my nursing home, or double my bus route. You know what he said? He said, I want a double portion of the spirit of Elijah on my life. And as a result of that, all of the other things just were an overflow and an outflowing of that. I want to love twice as much as I loved, twice as much as I loved in 2000. I want to have twice the joy that I had in 2000. I want to have twice the peace that I have in 2009. Brother Jerry, you can't experience peace in this generation and this political climate with all of the negativity. Yes, you can. If you let the Spirit of God work the fruit of God in your life, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I want to have twice the patience. I want to have twice the gentleness. I want to have twice the goodness. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see, guess this, wouldn't it be great? Maybe this is what the church of God needs. Maybe we just need a revival of goodness. Now, three different times this week. And folks, I'm not going to get up here and chase down every little silly thing that's said at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And it's not my job to do it. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more discouraging to a pastor's heart. And three different times this week, I've come to it, had a church member come to me that was genuinely hurt by some unkind thing that was said by some other church member. Can I tell you this? I am sick and tired of that. It grieves my heart. It grieves my. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're about. I don't know if you're saved. But God has not called you to come to this place and just see what hurtful thing you can say about some other member in this church. My jaw dropped on a couple of them. I absolutely think to myself, can that, and I don't, in all three cases, I don't know who said it. Didn't want to know. In one case, it's a good thing I don't know. But can I say this, folks? All a new visitor's got to do is overhear something like that, and you think they're ever going to come back to this place? That is not the Spirit of God producing that coming from your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Spirit of Almighty God ought to cause a group of people to talk like the world never hears, and to treat each other like the world never sees. And you know what? Man, when is their next service? Because I found a little piece of heaven on earth. That is produced by the Spirit of Almighty God. Listen, that's not produced by the power of positive thinking. That's not produced by human willpower. That's not produced because we go in some dark room right before we walk out on the stage and say, man, I'm going to hype myself up, pep myself up. I mean, it's not a motivational thing. You know what it is? It is surrender the Spirit of God where He begins to permeate you and control you. And you know what? You want to do good. You want to be good to someone else. You want to encourage someone else. You want to be a blessing to someone. You're looking for an opportunity. You know why? Because that's how the Spirit of God is. The Holy Spirit of God was sent to be that paraclete to come alongside and comforts and encourage and strengthen, not cut somebody's legs off at their knees. Are you listening to me? Listen, folks, what I'm saying is you can't have one kind of doubling without first having this kind of a doubling. You know why Elijah was effective? Because he said whatever. Elisha was effective because he said whatever Elijah have, I need twice that. He knew I need twice that in my life. And so, what is the goals? The goal is, Lord, help me to love twice as much as I've loved. Help me to have twice the joy. Help me to have twice the peace. Help me have twice the long suffering. You know how many people could be reached if we were a little more patient? If we were just a little more patient? If we were a little more gentle? This is how the Spirit of God acts. This is how He works. If we were twice as gentle, we were twice as good. If we had twice the faith, instead of taking little steps of faith, we'd learn to take big steps of faith. You know what? Jesus rebuked the disciples a lot of times, sometimes for having no faith, but sometimes He said, oh, ye of little faith. And even that He rebuked them because of their faith being small. Brother Jerry, I have some faith. Hey, are you like me? Do you really need twice as much of what you have? I do. I want twice the faith. I want twice the meekness. I want twice the temperance. You know what? The Bible says this in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, Brother Jerry, how do these things happen in our life? Folks, listen to me. You can't take verses 22 and 23 and ignore 24, 25, and 26. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Listen, folks, the flesh, the works of the flesh produce the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. The flesh is not our friend, it's our enemy. The Spirit of God working with our reborn spirit and causing us to have spiritual emotions and spiritual thoughts and a spiritual will. And you know what? Well, where's the flesh come into this? Crucify the flesh, crucify the flesh, crucify the flesh. The Bible says the flesh produces no good thing. So as we, as Christians who say that we are reborn and have reborn spirits, as we submit our spirit to the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden our soul is affected. Our soul being our heart and our mind and our will, all of these things are affected. And we begin to have Holy Spirit controlled spiritual thoughts, spiritual desires, spiritual will, spiritual emotions. And God's Spirit begins to reign in our life. But listen to me, folks, we don't arrive. We need to surrender and become more surrendered and become more surrendered and learn what it is to live in the Spirit, learn what it is to walk in the Spirit. And you know what? It's interesting. In verse 26, it says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. When you're walking in the Spirit, all of a sudden, all of those things disappear. They're off the map. It's not a matter of outdoing somebody. It's not a matter of provoking somebody. It's not a matter of poking somebody in the eye or putting somebody down or being better. Vainglory, I'm doing this so I can be seen. All that garbage goes out the window. You know what? It's just all about God. It's all about lifting Jesus up. It's all about seeing somebody saved, somebody helped. How can I be a blessing? What can I do to be an encouragement? That's what your life becomes about. Can I say this? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to know the state of my flock. That needs to be doubled in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Wouldn't it be great in our lives if God just said, well, you asked for a double, but why don't I just give you a triple? And most of us would say, amen, God. You know what? I probably need more than that. Now listen, folks, this is the beginning point. This is the starting point. Daring to desire a double portion isn't about numbers, and it's not about, even though we're going to reorganize and we'll work and we're going to stretch out and we're going to go forward, and I'm glad for all of these things, but let me say this, folks, the real work that needs to be done before it can be done in the community must be done in our own hearts, must be done in our own lives, you see. So we see Elisha's opportunity. Because of his loyalty and faithfulness, his request was for a double portion of the Spirit of Elijah, the Spirit of God. We see Elisha's boldness. I want to mention that. I call it daring. Elijah answered, thou hast answered a hard thing. I mean, listen, of all the things he could have asked, even Elijah acknowledges, son, what you just asked, I'm not even sure you know what you asked for, but let me tell you something, that's not an easy thing. But I'm so glad, as we go back to our text, if you flip back to 2 Kings, chapter number 2, when Elisha answers, he says, thou hast, in verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Boy, that next word, you ought to underline it, you ought to circle it, you ought to draw an arrow towards it. Thank God, he says, after thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, you know what he was saying here? He was saying, hey, what you asked is hard, but it's doable. It's hard, but it's possible. It's obtainable. It's obtainable, but it's going to come at a cost. Elisha, it's not going to come easy, and there's some things that you're going to actually have to lose before you can gain. And old Elijah says, one of them's me, bud. First thing, if you want the double portion, first thing you have to do is you stay right here and you keep your eyes on me, because you know what? I'm going to disappear. I'm going to have to go on. And I'm going to drop a mantle, and if you're here to pick it up, if you're still here to pick it up, you know what? Then maybe you got a chance of getting what you've asked to get. Can I say this, folks? When a church like ours decides that in 2010, in a new year, I mentioned this to our ministry directors last night, but I'm just distressed at the mentality that I see in a lot of good churches. They're just circling the wagons. We've gone into surrender mode. We've gone into let's protect what we've got thinking. Let's try not to lose anything this next year. Listen. You say, but Brother Jerry, don't you know what's going on in our country? Listen, folks. You can either look at this whole situation and say, oh no, or you can look at it and say, oh boy. Because the opportunity to advance the gospel in a time of unrest and uneasiness and uncertainty. You know what? What's going to happen probably in 2010? Let me just be honest with you. Americans less and less are going to be able to rely and have their faith in their money. See, I don't think that's a good thing. If you've been praying for a revival, you understand it's probably a good thing. See, America's going to have to see some of its gods fallen on their face and their head broken off before they realize that there's a real God. I mean, I don't wish for hard times, but I understand in any seasoned veteran preacher or a revivalist or evangelist understand that this country's not going to turn to God again unless we face some difficulties, unless we face some hard times. And so they're coming. And we know, even according to the scripture, that things are going to wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better until Jesus comes back. It's going to get worse and worse. But we can look at that. We can look at our own personal materialistic possessions and our own personal financial situation. We can fret, or we can look at the bigger picture as Christians and say, you know what? More and more people are going to be shaken down to their very foundation, or first time in their life, maybe willing to look up. This is prime time for the Church of Jesus Christ. Prime time. The opportunity's now. 2010, I think we'll have more people that would not listen at any point in their life be willing to listen for the first time the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to be poised. Listen, I don't want to get into this circle the wagon mentality. You know what? I'm thinking now's the time. Let's advance. Let's go out and reach. Let's get into areas and neighborhoods we haven't gone before. Let's knock on doors that we haven't hit before. Let's go back and hit some doors we have and we've given up on them. But you know what? Let's go back and revisit that. Who knows what God's done in their life and will do in their life in 2010. Elijah had that boldness. Thank God for the word nevertheless. And let me give you this last thought. Elisha had the right motive. I mentioned this already, but this was not an attempt to outdo Elijah. This was not for personal fame and prestige, fortune. This was from a sincere heart to help his nation experience real revival. He realized that the way our country is, listen folks, the darker the dark, the lighter the light. And you know what? He realized he needed to burn at his maximum potential. He needed to be everything that God could have him to be so people that were in utter darkness would find their way to the light. This is our opportunity. Now let me take the last 10 minutes or so and let me talk to you very practically. That is the starting point. There's going to be more preaching and teaching done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this year on doubling what we are on the inside, then you will hear doubling what we can do on the outside. Now, I'm going to preach some doubling sermons as far as casting a vision for what we can accomplish as far as, but I'm telling you right now, if that's what you do and if that's all you do, you know what? It's not going to amount to anything anyway. What we have to do is we have to understand that for us as a church to see the miraculous, to see twice as much as what we've seen in the past and twice the miracles that we've seen in the past, it's got to begin with God doing a work inside of us. We've got to be willing and daring to become better than we are, more than we have ever been for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me say some things, and I want to give you a little bit of a timetable and some thoughts. I know God has been doing some things and wants us to accomplish some very specific things. In 2010, the starting point, I'll say it one more time, then I'll give you some practical things. The starting point in 2010 is Blessed Hope Baptist Church members. We want to become twice the Christians we were in 2009. I really believe if we focus on that, almost everything else is just going to be a natural occurrence of that. Number two, let me give you this. In 2010, this is what I really feel God's done in as far as your pastor and just saying, let's do some very specific things in very specific areas of ministry. We want to double the size of our bus ministry in 2010. While a lot of churches are pulling buses off the road, you know what? I want to keep ours on the road. While some of them are canceling routes out, I want to expand some routes. We're going to go into some areas we've never gone to. We're going to, and it's not a matter, when I say double the bus ministry, it's not a matter of, okay, we're running five buses and two vans, so what we want to do is run 10 buses and four vans. And what we want to do is we want to take what we're running and we want to fill them up. We want to bring in the capacity or close to the capacity they're capable of. We want to do a better job. We want to run it better. We want to run it smarter. We want to run it more effective. Listen, you know what, folks? If a bus comes in with 10 kids or 50 kids, it costs the same amount of gas. So why not bring 50? Amen. We've got to run them the same way. So 2010, we want to double the size of our bus ministry. Now, by doing this, why are you focusing just on that one ministry? I want you to think about this. If we work towards that and we ask God to help us accomplish that, whatever blessings he gives, listen, folks, I learned a long time ago, we plant, we water, God gives the increase. That part's into his hands. I don't worry about it. But do you realize as the bus ministry grows, it will cause a growth in every area of children's ministry and teen ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? That's why we want to do it. That's why we want to do it. So we're on purpose targeting this ministry. Now, how will this be done, preacher? This can be done by reorganizing some of the bus routes, opening new territory in some of the bus routes. We want to double the size of the bus ministry. But this, as I mentioned to our ministry directors, does not mean that I'm going to meet in 2 weeks with all of our bus workers and just walk in there and say, okay, folks, we're going to double the size of the bus ministry. That means all of you are going to have to work twice as hard and visit twice as long and sacrifice twice as much. It's not going to just come upon a handful of people to accomplish this. This is where I'm asking for you to have a receptive heart as a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want every single member to want to have an effect, to want to have an influence in this, to want to see the goal that's been set accomplished for our church. Let me tell you what's so neat about it, what we're doing here. And it's really amazing the way God's accomplished some things here. We are going to reorganize a little bit of the boundaries, some of the bus routes, but we have five areas in our Jerusalem. And our Jerusalem basically is about a 20-25 mile circle from Blessed Hope Baptist Church all the way around. We have in our Jerusalem five very distinct areas that we have broken down, and five distinct bus route areas, different groups of people already working and running buses in certain towns, providing transportation to this church. Did I share this with you this morning? Maybe I just told it in our young adult class. Let me tell you something, folks. I said this to, I think, Brother Jeff Scales, and we were talking about painting the bus, the new bus we got. But I said, well, the best things my dad ever done was choose a color of a bus for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and then sticking with it. You know, when people don't recognize our name, all I got to do is say, well, have you ever seen the red and white? Oh, that church. Yeah, I know who you are. I know what you're doing, you know. I mean, it's smart. It really is. It's smart. And they see a red bus, they think Blessed Hope Baptist. You see a swoosh, you think Nike. You see a red bus, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. We've trademarked this thing, you know. And the red bus with white racing stripes, that's amen. Here we go. And that's what we do. We run them. And Don Mowry and John Reiser was buying food down at for the baskets that you're going to be able to put together about 9:30. And to give some families, and they were down there, and a lady stopped him. He said, I've never had this happen. And I said, I've never heard of it ever happen. A lady stopped him in the store. Said, why are you buying all the food? I said, well, we're from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and these are food for some needy families. She said, the red buses, right? She said, I see them buses running everywhere. They said, do you go to church? Well, she kind of hung her head. No, I know I ought to, but I'm not, but I'm saved. She opened her purse, took out some money, and handed it to him. Here, help buy those groceries with this. You guys have been doing this a long time. You're doing a good work. Now, folks, praise God for that. Praise God for that. I'm not interested in talking to anybody that wants to park buses. I'm not interested in that. Not interested in that. Oh, but don't you know that's an outdated ministry? Tell those kids that came down the aisle this morning, tell that little boy that after I got done preaching, fell under conviction, walked up here, said to Brother Jack Gordon, I need Jesus, I need to be saved. Listen, he wouldn't have been here to hear the preaching if it wasn't for the bus ministry. Tell that to the kids that were brought from Children's Church, came forward and said, you know what, I heard the gospel and I got saved, and I want to tell the church that I got saved. Come on now. Thank God for the bus ministry. But we want to double the size of the bus ministry. Now, this is what I was going to tell you. This is so neat. I took these five bus route areas in the towns that they pick up in. Some of them, like I said, have been a bit reorganized, but I took the five areas. I took the Blessed Hope Baptist Church membership directory, and I went through it, and I just began to write down the names of the people that already live on the different bus routes. I'm not saying you're bus workers. I'm saying you live in the neighborhoods where our buses come and pick up people. And one of the most amazing, fascinating things was, as I began to do this, I'd never done this. I had no idea what I was going to see. God has done an amazing thing here. There is almost an exact equal distribution of families in this church according to bus routes. We have almost on every bus route between 10 and 12 families that live on that bus route somewhere in that community already. And the only one that was a little below that was Worthington. And I mentioned the other night what I'll say again. It's obvious why. There's an Aiken in the camp. Amen. Yeah. Tanya? Yeah, it's Tanya. All right, amen. The woman that thou gavest me, Lord. It's her fault. but even that's pretty close. But it's just amazing. And I thought to myself, now here's the vision. Here's what I want you to get. Folks, listen to me. Do you see what God set up here? Do you see what God's doing? Well, Brother Jerry, I'm glad you want to double side the bus ministry. I'll tell you what, I'll add that on my prayer list, and I'll pray them bus workers work a little harder. I got an idea. Why don't you decide to help them? I'm not saying that everybody ought to join the bus ministry. I'm not saying everybody ought to ride a bus in on Sunday. I'm saying that you live right where they are. And you know what? We're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to do it for 2010. And we'll see how it works, and we'll see how it goes. But we don't want to just have a 9:30 Saturday soul winning. I'm going to meet, and I want you bus work captains to begin to think about this. I want our bus workers, and our bus captains know the best time to visit their route. Some of them go late morning, some of them go early afternoon. Whatever works for them is fine with me. And when we've never had a set time and said you have to visit a certain time, we're like, know your route, know your people, know when the people are home. Pick the best possible time that works with what you can do. And so they've established these things, and for the most part, they've learned to visit at the same time. I'd like to have listed in our bulletin on Saturday not one soul winning opportunity, not one visitation opportunity, but five visitation opportunities. I'm going to ask our bus captains, listen, all I'm asking is choose a time and be faithful to it. I want you to have a time and I want you to have a place where you can start. Now think about this. Let's say somebody lives over, let's pick Sullivan, that's a pretty good distance. We've got a route over there. Let's say somebody lives on Sullivan and you know what? They look in the bulletin and say, hey, the Sullivan bus captain bus workers meet at Burger King at 1:30 and they're going to go bus calling. Now I'm not asking you to become a bus worker. I'm not even asking you to go with them bus calling. Would you go over there and meet with them and let them do this? Watch this. Because we're not just going to try to double the size of the bus ministry. We're going to try to double the size of the young adult class. You say, Brother Jerry, why those two ministries? Who's putting that third grader on the bus? Who's putting that fifth grader on the bus? I believe we need a second wave of Blessed Hope Baptist Church people that will go to these homes. And when we knock on the door, the parents come to the door, you're probably here to see Johnny. Oh, no, that's the bus worker's job. We're not here to see Johnny. I'd like to see you and your husband for a minute. Do you have a few minutes? I'd like to introduce you, the young adult class of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'd like to tell you the opportunities that are there for you. And I'd like to get to know you a little bit and give you a packet of information. And somebody that would go after those parents and go and build relationship with those parents. And listen, you show up, you meet with them at 1:30, they're going to go bus calling. A bus captain's ready. He's ready in case somebody shows up and he says, hey, all I need you to do here is three families. Would you go visit these three families? Would you try to make contact with these three parents? Would you sit down with them, try to build a relationship with them, see if they're open to the gospel, see if you can get them to come to the church, give them the material of the ministries that are pertinent to adults, to young adults at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? I want to say something to our senior saints. I understand that a lot of you are at the point and place in time where it's difficult for you to get out, and I accept that, and I have no problem with that. But if that bus captain in the area that you live provided for you every week one or two addresses, if your pastor sent you an address and say, We had probably four or five visitors this morning. They're from different parts of this area. If I, on Monday, when Cheryl gets the cards, writes the letter that I send to every member and then gives me the cards, first thing on Monday I said, you know what, this person's from Linton. Here's the families that live in that area. And I sent you an email or called you and gave you an address. Could you just get a card out? If I sent you a phone number, would you be willing to punch some buttons and say, you know what, I know that you met a lot of people and you probably don't remember me, but I went over and shook your hand yesterday and introduced myself. And by the way, I live right here in the same area you live, and I just want to tell you, I'm glad that you were at Blessed Hope Baptist Church yesterday. I hope you enjoyed the service. And you know what, our pastor gave me your name, and I've committed myself to pray for you. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what your situation is. If there is something specific you'd like me to pray for in your life, I'd love to do it. But I want you to know, one way or another, I want to pray for you. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. You see, folks, when an entire church family says, you know what, according to my several ability, according to what I can do, Pastor, I'd be willing to do, to try to make some impact, to let them be exposed to someone who has, watch this, a double portion of the Spirit of God on them. I'm not talking about doing it for vainglory. I'm not talking about doing it so that you can take her. I'm talking about God has done something in my life, and I want to use that to affect somebody else's life. I want to share some of the love that the Holy Spirit's produced in my life. I want to spend some of that goodness and gentleness and faith and long-suffering. I want to be used to impact somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, what are we going to do? We're going to take these five areas. We're going to take these group of families, and every single family, every family at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to be listed and included in some area and asked to have some influence as you're able to help us follow up on visitors, to help us, if you're willing to go knock on doors, to help us. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, but I've never done that before. Hey, what a great time to start. What a great time to start. What a great time to start. And so that's the game plan. As we begin to see this done, I believe God will begin to bless. Not just because of the fact that we've set a goal, because folks, listen to me. As I said, can't control the results. Those are in God's hand. But I can control the planting and I control the watering. You know what? If I double the planting, double the watering, maybe God will double the increase. It's in His hands. But you know what? Let's do all that we can do for the Lord. In 2010, we want to double the size of the bus. In 2010, we want to double the size of a young adult class. That way, we're not becoming one-dimensional. We don't want to just reach children and teenagers. We do want to reach them, and that's important. But man, let's reach the whole family. Let's go after these adults. Let's try to reach them for Jesus Christ. And so we're going to ask. We're going to ask that everybody be involved in this. Everybody be involved in this. I won't force it. I won't make anybody do anything. I'll appeal to you. I'll give you the information. I'll give you the opportunity. If you don't, you don't. If you don't, you don't. You'll stand before God and answer for what you do and don't do, and I'll stand before God and answer for what I do and don't do. But I pray that you wouldn't make a mockery of it and you'd take it seriously. I pray that you'd let God crack open something in your heart and say, you know what, good night. Preacher's got a plan, and you know what he's asking is awful, not very hard, and you know what, souls are at stake. Souls are at stake. Maybe I can have a little impact, a little influence on somebody this year for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is what we're going to do. This daring to desire a double portion. Now, it's going to take some organization. We're going to spend, let me give you the timetable. We're going to spend January and February training and organizing. We're going to kick off our first real spring attendance push with the new visitation times beginning in March. March and April, we want to have spring attendance push. May through August, summer outreaches. We're going to do some regional things in these communities, evangelistic efforts. I'll tell you more about these as we have time in the future. September and October, fall attendance push. Bus workers, bus captains, I'm going to be meeting with you several times during January, several times during February as we lay the groundwork for this. We've chosen to take January and February, 2 months that are very difficult months because of the weather. We're going to organize, we're going to train, we're going to get all of our ducks in a row. Come March, we're going to unleash the hounds, amen. We're going to do it. Will you be a part? Will you be a part? Will you be a part? You see, September and October, fall attendance push. I want us to have the best fall attendance we've ever had. I want us to see God do some things, unusual things, miraculous things. November and December next year, we're going to do some holiday outreach opportunities. All of these geared into these communities, trying to impact people, trying to get people to come, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, or we come to them. Whatever way we've got to do it, let's just do it. Let's just get the gospel to them. Now, what do you need from me, preacher? What I need for you is to have a willing heart, a receptive heart. What I'm asking you to do is take these next several weeks over the holidays and as we begin to train in January, February, and just say, God, you know what? It'd be pretty neat if just in 2010, you let me see twice the miracles I've ever seen in my life. Be used in twice the capacity that I've ever been used in my life. To have twice the Spirit of God in His presence and working in my life than I've ever experienced in my life. To learn to love twice as much as I've ever loved in my life. To experience the fruits of the Spirit twice the level I've ever had in my life. And to genuinely be able to see God's church grow and go forward as a result of that. Daring to desire a double portion. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you take these thoughts that we've given. Lord, that you would help us to take them, meditate upon them, pray over them, be open to what your Spirit would do in our lives. I would ask, Lord, for the miraculous. Elisha was willing to ask for the miraculous. I pray, dear God, for the miraculous. Not just from us, but in us. The miraculous, please, in us. Lord, the honest truth is I want to be twice the pastor I've ever been in my life, and I want to be twice the Christian I've ever been in my life. And I would ask, God, that I not be a hypocrite in asking the people of God not to do what the preacher wouldn't be willing to do. So may we all, Lord, come to this theme with an open heart to what God would do in our lives. Use this church, please, dear God, in a supernatural way in the months ahead. Bless our new year. Bless our invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.